Rough times and big change for a retail giant. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Mark Garrison in for David Brancaccio. Costco is jacking up membership fees. The news came along with its earning report, which fell short of Wall Street expectations. Its stock was down on the news. Marketplace's Annie Baxter joins us. Annie, how big and how important is this fee hike?
Well, Costco is raising fees on its basic annual memberships by $5, so they'll go up to $60 a year. And executive memberships will go up $10 to $120 a year. The changes will affect about 35 million members, about half of them executive members, and will take effect in June. And those fees are a key to Costco's success. They account for more than two-thirds of the company's operating income. And a hike in fees had been anticipated. There hadn't been one since 2011.
And all this comes when retailers are struggling in a lot of ways. Where does this fit in the big picture?
Yeah, we've seen a lot of kind of dismal earnings reports. Target recently reported lower sales and profits in the holiday quarter. It slashed its outlook and vowed to lower prices. Grocery chain Kroger said yesterday that a key sales measure fell in the last quarter and that it's going to reduce prices. And of course, you've got big box behemoth Walmart trying to knock out rivals with lower prices. So it is a tough landscape. And Costco has been a bit of a bright spot. Its sales at stores open more than a year did increase 3% in the last quarter, but the growth missed analyst expectations.
And whenever we talk about retail landscapes and difficulties, we always talk about the challenge from Amazon online. How does that play out here when we're talking about Costco?
Well, you know, Amazon does have a subscription service too, Amazon Prime, and a growing share of Costco members are becoming Prime members. So that does prompt the question of whether people need both memberships, and if not, which one they're going to ditch.
Okay, Marketplace's Annie Baxter, thank you.
Sure.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks largely down in global trading. In the UK, shares are down 0.2%. In Germany, very close to where they started, down almost 0.1%. And Asian markets closed down. New British government numbers show home ownership in England at its lowest level in 30 years. Nearly half of people aged 25 to 34 rent. Marketplace's Andy Euler reports on what's going on and how this compares to America.
The average house price in England has jumped to 7.5 times average incomes. The government's trying to jumpstart building to boost supply. Simon Rubinson is chief economist at the Royal Institution of Chartered Surveyors.
The risk is that prices will continue and rents will continue to rise faster than wages, which will mean that affordability probably isn't going to get any better anytime soon.
He says a lot of people in England rent their homes from individual private homeowners. The private rented sector accounted for 4.5 million households, double what it was in 2004. It's happening in the U.S., too, especially among young people. Lori Goodman is co-director of the Housing Finance Policy Center at the Urban Institute. She says it's a subtle change in priorities.
For my generation, homeownership was a store of value. For my kids, having lived through the Great Recession, they can't possibly see it that way.
Since 1990, homeownership has fallen among every age and every ethnic group in the U.S. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
President Trump promises to cut regulations, saying that'll help small businesses. We are interested in what those business owners actually think about all this. Marketplace's Adam Allington gives us the view from inside a small brewery.
Julie Verratti is co-founder of Denizens Brewing Company in Silver Spring, Maryland.
So this is where the beer ferments and turns into booze.
Down in the brewery's cellar, 7 450-gallon tanks contain the company's signature rye IPA. A venting tube bubbles CO2 into a bucket of water below, the byproduct of fermenting grains. On top of the federal laws regulating alcohol, Verratti says regulations also differ between states. For instance, in Virginia, she can't distribute her own beer. In Maryland, she can, but only up to a certain point.
There's always some sort of upper limit that's been built in. So we're only allowed to self-distribute 3,000 barrels a year in Maryland.
So if Verratti wants to sell more than 3,000 barrels, she has to contract with a distributor, which is great for middlemen, but adds to Denizen's costs.
I think any type of regulation that the only thing it does is stop business growth doesn't make sense to me.
There are even regulations for beer in the Affordable Care Act. See the subsection for menu labeling for chain restaurants, which requires all nutritional information be listed, even beer.
that cost of that test is prohibitive, up to $1,000 per brand.
Bob Pease is the CEO of the Brewers Association. He says the cost of testing is nothing for a company like Miller Coors, but if you're a small brewer who wants to have three beers on tap at the local Ruby Tuesdays...
$3,000 for our members in many cases is, that's the difference between buying hops or malt or maybe making payroll.
After years of growth, there are signs the craft beer boom is leveling off, which means competition is increasing and these regulatory differences can really matter.
The regulations are, they're make or break.
Tom Perko is a beverage industry consultant. In addition to regulatory hurdles, many craft brewers are first-time entrepreneurs with limited access to things like capital and credit.
It's okay to be small, but once you try to grow, these forces just can absolutely crush you.
But help could be on the way. The Craft Beverage Modernization and Tax Reform Act has majority sponsorship in both the House and Senate. It would cut regulations and reduce taxes on cideries, wineries, distilleries, and of course, breweries. Among other things, it would help entrepreneurs like Julie Verratti make more beer.
So I'm going to have you try our Southside Rye IPA. It's more floral hops than it is bittering hops. Do you like IPAs?
I do, and this is a great one.
TGIF starts early in Maryland. I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
And finally, Amazon is fessing up about the outage Tuesday that hit tens of thousands of websites using Amazon's AWS cloud computing services. The company says an employee was working on a bug and, quote, one of the inputs to the command was entered incorrectly. That is an elaborate way of saying it was a single typo that broke a giant chunk of the internet for hours. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Nguyen. Stephanie Hughes produces Marketplace Tech. And in New York, I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.